Alaska's Newsmakers.
Action Line KINY.
First off, I just wanted to talk and check in with you guys. I know you must be very busy organizing, so what does that look like for you this time of year?
Well, getting organized is, you know, a lot of what we're doing right now. So we are updating all of our visitor information pieces, everything that gets handed out at the visitor information centers. We're also getting our trainings organized for our volunteers. We've got a crew of about 80 or so volunteers that staff the visitor centers, getting those in place, and just making sure we've got the site's ready and that the website is ready for any last minute inquiries.
Okay, and yeah, what does that look like on your end for the city?
On our end, you know, other city departments are busy ramping up with seasonal staff. Docks and Harbors and Parks and Rec hire a lot of seasonal workers to help manage everything from security guards to docks workers to landscapers to park rangers. So there's a lot of effort there. And then on the big picture tourism management side, there's a lot happening. A lot of the people that we work with, the cruise lines, the local tour operators, don't have the time and capacity to work on that type of stuff in the summer. And then after the season, everybody's so fried that my really busy time tends to be from January until the ships start rolling in. And then everybody gets kind of, you know, distracted and busy in their business. And from my standpoint, as long as things are operating and going smoothly, I'm kind of regular busy, not crazy busy. But until you know, some little thing happens that issue that you have to solve. But operational time is a lot quieter than planning time when you're trying to kind of make everything fall into place for the season and make sure that everything that we've been working on over the winter is going to happen and run smoothly.
Gotcha. Yeah, that sounds like, yeah, it just takes such a big team effort and then, like, yeah, just a lot of different moving parts to make sure everything happens smoothly, like you said. And so what are our expected numbers for this summer?
So we'll have about the same number of visitors as last summer, about 1.64 million, I believe. And we're really hoping, I know last summer was a big explosive growth year. We saw about 30% growth over the our previous busy year, 40% growth over the year before, so it felt like a lot to the community, and fair enough. So we're hoping that this summer we've put a lot of time and effort into making sure that we have things in place to run more smoothly. The glacier situation, I think, will be entirely different than it was last year. We're adding capacity to Capital Transit. The tour operators are managing and balancing their permit load better. So we're hoping that that pressure won't be as intense. And while the Whale Watch Group has been working on new guidelines and recommendations for the way they behave out on the water, which will hopefully result in fewer impacts to boaters. So we're trying to make sure that things feel a little bit less busy this summer. And then, you know, over the long term, we're working on keeping our numbers about the same so that we can just continue building infrastructure, continue adding more tour opportunities and continuing to build things that make Juneau a great place to visit, but also balance the volume and make it a better place to live in the summer.
Yeah, and what do you think about that, balancing tourism with everything else locally?
Well, I mean, yeah, that is absolutely something that Travel Juneau is interested in, you know, for all of the reasons that Alex just talked about. And, you know, for us, we really understand the importance of the industry to the economics of Juneau, but we understand also that, you know, we have, you know, residents, you know, have a stake. We're all residents, so we have a stake in our own hometown. So that's very, very important. So, you know, in terms of numbers, I hear from our hoteliers that they're getting booked up pretty, you know, pretty solidly for the summer. And I know that restaurateurs and everybody are, you know, they're hiring like crazy, just as Alex, you know, mentioned on the CBJ side. All of our operators and, you know, just everybody inside of the business is looking for help.
Yeah, that was one of my questions I was going to ask, just that, you know, the importance of seasonal workers in Juneau.
We employ 1,500 or so seasonal workers in town, and those are the people who come in out, you know, from outside of Juneau. Mm-hmm. So we're always try to hire locally, our operators do, whenever that is possible. So we're front and center with the Alaska Travel Industry Association and other organizations that are working toward workforce development so that we can get people interested in the industry as maybe even a career path and get them trained up so that they can move, you know, right into the industry out of high school.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. Also, I wanted to ask you, I know last summer you had some issues with shipping for all the flags hanging downtown. Are you going to have them back this year?
Yes. I am so happy that Friends of the Flags are, you know, we're going to be installing the flags on April 27th. So we're looking for a couple of volunteers to help us out. We don't need too many, but we do need some help. The flags are in. They're ready to go. And we know that the community really has missed them over the last couple of years. And happy to get that project back on its feet.
Was it 2 years they were missing?
I think they were two. You know, there was a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
So I know last year we just did not get the order at all. So we were prepared this year.
Oh, Alaska. With all the fun shipping time.
Yeah.
Did you get the results from the McKinley Research Group that was happening kind of over the fall and winter?
I do have the results from our survey, and if you want to see that survey, you can go on juneau.org/tourism. This year we did a resident survey, which we do every year to evaluate resident sentiment around tourism. We also did a cruise passenger survey to see how people feel about Juneau and get spending data, which led to an economic impact study. So on the resident survey, some highlights. We ask the same question year over year about overall impact of tourism on households, whether people feel positively impacted, negatively, both positive and negative, or neither. And those numbers have stayed relatively steady since 2002 when we started asking that question. We did see a bit of a statistically significant bump this year in the both positive and negative category and in the kind of no impact, neither categories. People's specific impacts, they notice crowding at the Mendenhall Glacier, vehicle congestion downtown as kind of the top two. There, we asked about cruise passenger volume and what people's preference for passenger volume is. People want to see us keep volume about the same or trending slightly lower. Okay. That was about 65% of people responded in one of those categories. As usual, people don't feel we're doing enough to manage tourism. We keep working on that, but 56% of residents felt that we weren't doing enough to manage tourism. And
what does that mean, manage tourism?
We've been asking this question for a long time, and it's kind of up to the interpretation of the answerer. But we just try to get a sense of whether people think that we're doing enough to manage tourism or whether we can do better. And then we ask about priorities and what our priorities for tourism management should be. And our top three priorities were reducing traffic congestion, shore power, so electrifying the city docks, and supporting Liz and her team in growing the independent visitor market. So
okay.
So we know those are our marching orders. Our economic impact study showed that we have about $480 million in total economic impact from the tourism industry in Juneau, which is, quite significant.
Over what period of time?
Per year.
Per year. Okay.
Yeah, and that average per person spending in Juneau is about $232 per visitor. So those are some pretty big and impressive numbers. It's clearly a massive sector of our economy. The people who come here like Juneau. We were rated really high by cruise passengers, and our quality is a destination, so we need to continue to keep that up. And you know, the city saw $18 million in sales tax from visitors. That's pretty significant. Over the coming years, we need to do a better job of growing our shore excursion capacity and providing more things for all these people to do and better infrastructure to get them around to help minimize the impacts on residents.
When you say more things to do to kind of spread out that impact, what do you think of the gondola and the different summer activities at Eagle Crest that are in the works for, I think, 2026?
Yeah, 2026, we'll probably have the gondola online. We'll hopefully have some improvements at the glacier, which will allow the glacier to add some capacity. We're working on a seawalk construction project connecting the two south docks, which will really help with congestion downtown. It'll take a lot of buses off the road with people being able to walk into town from the rock dump. And
oh, nice.
Then we're also doing a commercial recreation use study, which the public process should kick off shortly. That study, it'll evaluate commercial use of our parks and trails and also look at new opportunities for commercial recreation. So we can help our local operators figure out where new opportunities might be available and where we can add additional capacity for to find more and better things for people to do in Juneau so we can minimize the congestion on some of the areas that feel really crowded for residents.
And are some of those projects, are they through the marine passenger fees?
The Seawalk Extension is funded through marine passenger fees. We're also working on building shore power at the city cruise ship docks. At least some of that will be funded through marine passenger fees. We're really hopeful about some external funding, federal government, that sort of thing. And then we're also funding this commercial rec use study through passenger fees. So to study where we could add capacity. And then there may be a passenger fee project in the future, depending on, you know, what the project is, whether it meets the requirements of that program, and whether they're looking for some sort of city infrastructure support.
Okay. And so, Liz, can you tell me more about Travel Juneau as a role?
Our mission is to market Juneau to independent travelers, to independent groups, and meetings and conventions. So that is where all of our marketing is headed. We look for metro areas that have a good chance of sending people, you know, into Juneau and into Alaska. As a long-haul destination, we need to be really mindful of where we're putting some of our, you know, putting our marketing dollars, because we want to make sure that we're hitting those markets that have maybe easier access, for example, to Juneau.
Okay.
But we also maintain a real good list of analytics for people who are looking at Juneau as a destination. So really, since the beginning of our fiscal year in July 1, we've had close to 200,000 people have a look at our website, for example.
Wow.
And that is an indication of an intent to travel. When we capture people on that website and they start looking around, they're kind of at that top of the decision funnel, and we want to pull them down so that they make that decision. One of the things we've noticed is that, of course, the U.S. is our top market for site visits, but that's followed by Canada, UK, Australia, and China. So
that's interesting to know.
Yeah, so we have a lot of interest. We have a lot of interest right now in some international travel. I just went with the Alaska Travel Industry Association to D.C. to help our delegation understand the need to clear up some visa issues. For example, it's taking international visitors a long time to get an initial interview just to get their visitor visa. So this is going to impact entrance into the U.S. for things like the World Cup, even. So when you think about other activities that happen in Juneau or in Alaska at large, like the Arctic Winter Games and other international events, that's a huge impact if people have to wait that long to get a visa, and then it takes them another 2 hours, for example, once they get into destination to get through customs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're mindful of all of those pieces as well. The other thing that we're doing is really managing where people are finding Travel Juno. We know that more people are finding us through their mobile devices. That changed in the last year or so. We've switched from desktop use to more mobile users. Fortunately, our site has been designed to be mobile optimized, so it should be seamless and really easier to use than an app.
I also saw you started doing more like Instagram reels and
yes.
stuff.
We have ramped up our social media. We have actually picked up a TikTok account and are using that. We're kind of diving into it a little bit to see what happens. But our Instagram feeds are really active. We have an outward-facing Travel Juno Facebook page, and we're also diving into Reddit a little bit for information for people who are coming into town, whether they're coming in independently or they just need general information about how to pack when they come into town. So we have all of that on the website.
I used to work at Glacier Gardens as a tour guide, and it was just so funny what people would pack or wear, and I'm like, you need to pack like every type of clothing because you don't know. Like, if it's going to be a nice day or if it's raining.
Right, and a lot of people don't understand that it may be cool in the morning, and then it's going to warm up to 70, so they need to have those layers that they can, you know, put in their backpack or whatever. So
we
do a lot of education along those lines as well. And another educational effort that we're kind of getting underway again is educating inbound visitors of all types about how to get around Juno, how to, you know, what to expect when they get here, and help manage just the general visitor expectation once they get into the destination.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, that's great. And so how does Travel Juno and the City and Borough of Juno kind of like collaborate and work together in these efforts?
You want to take that one?
Sure. I mean, Liz and I talk all the time. I'm the city liaison to the Travel Juno board, and we also fund a lot of Travel Juno's programs. And on the cruise side, Travel Juno provides our visitor services. They staff the booths on the dock. They hand out maps. They provide visitor information. They also manage some of our contracts, like the crossing guards that you see downtown. TBMP lives under Travel Juno, and we spend a lot of time collaborating on that. I mean, I think we're both major stakeholders in what happens in the destination here. So anything strategic that happens with, whether it's the issues around the glacier or whether it's whale watching or whether whatever the in-destination issue that needs to be resolved, we both need to be engaged from different standpoints. You know, I can take the city regulatory perspective, whereas Liz comes at it from these are her members, and TBMP is a program housed within Travel Juno, so we try to kind of provide both those perspectives and just help shepherd those groups and dialogues to coming up with a strategy between all the stakeholders. We work closely with the Forest Service as well to make sure that we're finding solutions for issues within the destination, and also that we're just continuing to work on being a progressive destination that's seen as a really positive place to visit and that does a good job of managing tourism. And we do have that reputation elsewhere in the world, which is something we're really proud of and we work together really hard on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And did you say that it was 56% in that survey that didn't feel like there was enough tourism management? How many people responded to the...
So the survey is a random sample survey of 500 random people, and that's important because we try to do statistically valid surveys. So instead of like, I care about this so much that I'm going online to take the survey, it's more the people that we don't necessarily hear from all the time. And that's up from pretty consistently 45% of people felt we weren't doing enough for many, many years. And I think that's just a result of the explosive growth that we saw last year. We kind of expected that. Mm-hmm. And I'll be interested to see what our survey results say this year.
I was going to ask off of that, of just reminding people how they can reach out to Tourism Best Management Practices if they do have a comment or concern.
Sure. Actually, TBMP has its own website. So if you go online to and just type in TBMP or Tourism Best Management Practices, the website's going to pop up. And there, the phone number for TBMP as well as an online form are available for people to register concerns. So, you know, the background here is that this is designed to help mitigate the impacts on residents. And we work directly with our tourism best management members, many of whom are Travel Juno partners as well. And what happens is that we've got about 100 or so guidelines now for different sectors of the industry. So for transportation, for fixed wing, for helicopter, all the different sectors have their own set of guidelines that they sign on to abide by. If a resident, you know, for example, gets behind a shuttle that is driving 45 in the left-hand lane of Egan, they can give us a call, give TBMP a call, or go online to the web form and say, hey, this operator for so-and-so company was driving very slowly, holding up traffic in the left-hand lane. Please, you know, do something about that. We register that complaint. We want as much information from the resident as possible because we want the ability to get back to that resident and tell them how this was resolved.
Okay.
Often, things like that are a matter of training, but we when we know the operator, we let that operator know, and the operator has 3 business days to get back with TBMP and to the person who called. We are now using an actual database for this, collecting all that data so that we can track really accurately year over year. So that's an opportunity for residents to weigh in on what's happening throughout the borough as well.
Okay, awesome. And so it looks like, if I'm looking at the right calendar, okay, it looks like our first ship is Norwegian Bliss on April 9th.
Yep.
Oh, wow, that's so soon.
Yep, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we do see kind of dribs and drabs of ships. We see I think our first two-ship day is on April 26th. We have, like, one ship a week and then a couple ships within a week. And then to ramp up on May 12th, that's when we're kind of at full operational schedule. So,
okay.
You know, we always have those kind of straggler early and late season ships.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
so it's like just a few here and there, and then it's like, oh, they're all here.
Yeah, exactly. As cruise lines redeploy their ships from the Caribbean or Mexico or wherever they spent the winter, they start kind of showing up in May for the most part.
Gotcha. And is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about?
I do have a couple of events that I would like to plug.
Yeah.
So we are, as I mentioned, we're actively working on electrifying the city docks and providing shore power there. Docks and Harbors is also working on a number of other infrastructure projects. So they are holding an infrastructure fair to talk about all the different projects that they have underway on next Wednesday at 5:30. And then the Juno Commission on Sustainability is doing a sustainability session at the Valley Library that is focused entirely on dock electrification and shore power, so people can learn more about that project on April 18th at 6:30. And that Docks and Harbors Infrastructure Fair on Wednesday at 5:30 is at the Yacht Club. I forgot to mention that.
Okay, I was just about to ask where that one was at. Okay. And so that's this upcoming Wednesday, April 3rd?
Yep.
Okay. And then do you have events coming up?
We do. Want to remind listeners that our annual travel fair will be Saturday, April 20th at the Jack. It'll run alongside the Fresh Air Market, so we're really happy to have additional reasons for people to get out and visit our partners. This, as a reminder, is a great opportunity to come out, meet the Travel Juno partners and the Travel Juno team, and take advantage of giveaways and locals discounts. The event starts at 10 a.m. That's when the doors will open to the public. It ends at 2. We're going to have food trucks. Alaskan Brewing is going to be there as well. Alaska Airlines is our event sponsor, followed by Alaskan Brewing, and we've got some other sponsors that we're getting ready to reveal just right out the gate here.
Well, that's so exciting, and that's an annual event, right?
It is. Okay. Really, you know, the only year we missed really was, I guess, the year, you know, the COVID years. And we did an online version, but people were really ready to come back the last year or so. And we get about 1,000 people through the doors during the course of those 4 hours. Our partners really like it, and I think it's a great way for the community to get out and meet us and see what we do.
Yeah, I also think it's a great way for the community to see, you know, all the different, like, tour operators and then, like, different local tourism businesses in town, too.
Because yeah.
Some people, they save, like, their whole life just to come to Alaska, mm-hmm. and we're, like, so lucky to be able to be here
every day
and mm-hmm. have, like, the opportunity to go up the tram throughout the summer or whatever it is. Like, it's just in our backyard.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
And we always like to dispel the myth that our operators are owned by the cruise lines. All of our operators are mom and pop, you know, organizations. Some are very small, just very family, you know, just one or two people operating the whole shebang. We do have, you know, some larger operators, but the owners of those businesses are Junoites. And so they have a stake in what happens in Juno as well. And that plays a huge part in our work in management.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah, I think there is that misconception a lot of the time. I'm not sure where that comes from, but I think that's a good reminder that it is local. It's local businesses and operators. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, and it is a critical piece of our local economy. Something that's really great about the travel fair is if people have friends or family visiting over the summer, they can see what's out there, what types of opportunities, things that they can do to get people out and experiencing the best that Juno has to offer.
Yeah, that's true.
If someone wants to volunteer, they can call the Travel Juno office at 907-586-2201, and we'll take their information and get back with them. We need just a few volunteers at this point, so I think we're pretty much set, but one or two extra might be really, really helpful for us.
Okay, awesome. Great. And anything else that you'd like to add today?
Well, if someone is interested in volunteering for Travel Juno to greet visitors and provide visitor information, we've got our trainings coming up, and they can call that same number, 907-586-2201, and sign up as a Travel Juno volunteer to work in one of our information centers.
If people want to reach out to me with questions, comments, concerns, my email is alexandra.pierce@juno.gov, or you can go to juno.org/tourism.
You've been listening to Action Line on KINY. I'm Jazz Garrett.